found a tick on my dog. Okay, no problem. Come in. Search the dog. There's no tick. You go to the owner. Tell me exactly where this tick is. And then you're like, ma'am, that's a nipple.
I beg your pardon. All right. In 3, 2, 1. Hey, Bessie, it's your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated Bessie. It's your favorite nurse, Nurse John. And welcome back to your favorite podcast. I beg your pardon. I miss you guys so much. How's everybody doing? I hope you are doing well wherever you're listening right now, in your car, at work, at home, doing groceries, doing laundries, wherever you are. I just want to say thank you for listening, Bessie, and I hope life is going good. And if it's not, remember what I always tell you. There's always another day to restart and do it again, as long as you don't give up on yourself, right? Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? Well, Bestie, we are back again for another week, another juicy and interesting story from another guest in this podcast. But before we continue, if you're listening right now, do me a quick favor and make sure that you download this episode and all other episodes that you haven't listened to, because you need to keep up, Bestie. This is your therapy, right? Make sure that you download this episode and you download it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Make sure that you follow us and turn on notifications so that you receive a daily or weekly notification when there's a new episode that comes out. And also, don't forget to give us a 5-star on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And Bessie, if you are ever wondering what keeps me up at night, my anxiety. Not just my anxiety, but what helps me stay up at night during my shifts in the hospital, it's Rise Fuel, baby. RYSEFUEL. This is a caffeinated drink. There's only 200 milligrams of caffeine. But yes, this is one of my favorite caffeine drinks. It's RYSEFUEL. And you can find one nearest you if you just type in Google Rise Fuel Locator, and you will find one close to you. Well, we're going to crack one open with my guest right now. Let's crack it right here, like ASMR. That was insane. That is so cool. Oh, well, cheers. How did it taste?
That's nice.
Oh, what do you have? Twisted lemon?
Twisted lime.
Twisted lime. I had a Kool-Aid. Right. Well, cheers to you, Bessie. So again, if you ever want one Rise Fuel, just find one nearest you. We have it right here. And also, if you haven't checked out my merch store, you can always visit www.nursejohn.com and you can get your merch. Actually, one of my cups right now that I'm holding, it's We'll Continue Tomorrow Hydration Cup. You can find it on my website, www.nursejohn.com. Anyways, you guys, I know you've been waiting to know who is my guest for today. Well, she came from healthcare, but it's not human. It's animals. Cute little animals. Our best friends. The ones that takes care of us when we get home. The ones that relieves our stress and anxiety when we get home from our stressful job. They're the one who gives care and tells us what to do right when it comes to our pets. I brought you guys someone from the veterinary technician world, Nadia.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to just, you know, talk about what it is I do.
Exactly. Because you know what? There's a lot of veterinary technician who's been following me, mm-hmm. and they've been telling me, John, I'm not taking care of human beings, but listen, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
And I don't know what makes it the same or mm-hmm. different, because I have never been a veterinary technician. So can you please, first of all, introduce yourself and give us a little bit more information about you?
Yeah. So I'm Nadia. Hello. So I have always been connected with animals way more than I've been with people. I just have this special bond with animals. My mother will say, You've always were meant to work with animals. I wanted to work in conservation. This was my goal. I wanted to, you know, go to university,
right,
be involved in saving the animals. And then I went to university. And me and her were not friends. And then when I was struggling through university, trying to figure out, okay, well, if this is not going to work for me, what's going to work for me? I had pets my whole life. Go to the veterinarian with our dog. I made my mom bring my hamster to the veterinarian
because
I was like, I'm doing everything for this little thing. There was always, you know, the people behind the scene. I just never questioned what they were doing, who they were, what their role was.
Did someone inspired you to become a veterinary technician, or was it just because you love animals so much that you wanted to do this?
For me, it was a passion for science.
Right.
My dislike of humans. No offense.
just like, I love that. I love, listen, she is allowed to not like humans. And honestly, there's so many vet techs who's telling me like,
we are not people.
Exactly. Even in the nursing profession, there are a lot of us who wants to work in the clinics or, you know, like at home because they don't want to deal with humans. And that's completely fine.
Yes. Valid. And
period. And I keep telling people, listen, being a nurse doesn't mean you have to be completely extroverted or in any healthcare profession like vet tech. There's a lot of jobs for us that you don't require to interact with human beings.
Yeah.
If you don't want that, or animals or anything like that.
So I'm a complete introvert, and I originally went into the field thinking like, oh, I won't have to deal with people. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. Just so everyone knows.
Well, there you go. Even though she hates people, she still have to deal with them.
Yeah. So it's a misconception. If you're going to go into the industry being like, I don't want to be a human doctor, human nurse, because I'm not a people person, you still have to deal with people.
So I guess vet techs are basically the nursing profession.
Exactly.
In the animal world.
Yeah. I know in other parts of the world,
right,
I think in the UK, they're referred to as veterinary nurses. I know that in the United States and Canada, at least, we're referred to as veterinary technicians.
Technician.
I know that there's a big thing with us calling ourselves nurses, human nurses.
Would you rather be called a veterinary technician or a veterinary nurse?
So I think it's complicated. I think for the general public, for our are the owners of these pets, if we were to call ourselves veterinary nurses, I think they'd have a better understanding of what it is that we do.
Right. Because then for me, as an outsider of your profession, if you tell me you're a veterinary technician, I was like, okay, so they do x-ray, they do something technical. But then if you guys are handling pets and being there with the pets for, I don't know how long, maybe the same thing as nurses, almost like 24/7, you guys should be called nurses.
Yeah. So I think it's twofold. We do a lot of the same things that nurses do. Our career is very technical. And so being called a technician is very appropriate.
Right. Because you're not just probably nursing the animal, you're also nursing the parents.
Like parents?
That's really cute. But yes, you nurse them because they're probably super anxious, super agitated, super angry, super confused. Because I have been in that position. Actually, just last 2 months, December, my dog, during Christmas season, I hosted Friendsmas. And then so I made some charcuterie board and food and whatnot. And my dog is a grabber. He waits for the chance that no one is looking, and he would climb and he would jump anywhere to grab the food. And so my wife saw that he grabbed the food, the charcuterie stick.
Oh my God.
And then so I was like, okay, well, that's it. I know he's not going to poop it. I know he's not. It's not going to come out anywhere. It's going to be stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
And then so my heart was pounding. But then I was like, we decided that, okay, we're just going to monitor. Maybe a miracle is going to happen and that toothpick is going to go away. Mm-hmm. And we have to literally search his poo every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, at some point, he stopped pooping for like 4 days.
Yeah. Big sign. Big red flag.
I know. So we're just like, okay, we were using our nursing experience. We're kind of like, okay, if you're not pooping for 4 days, there's something that's blocking your intestine. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're like, you know what? Let's call our emergency hospital for dogs. And then they're like, yeah, you have to go to the hospital because that looks like an emergency surgery. Mm-hmm. I'm like, surgery?
Yeah.
My 6-year old. I was like, no. I was like, please, my no. My baby. I know. And the funny thing is, we were leaving for New York that time too. So we were on the way to New York. Girl, we had to drop him at like 6 a.m. in the morning, drive to New York. And while we were like driving to New York, there was a snowstorm. And we're like talking to the doctor. And she's like, yeah, unfortunately, we have to do the surgery or we can do endoscopy. If we can get it off from endoscopy, then you don't have to do the surgery. Yeah. And it's going to cost you $8,000. And then so we were praying on the way. We're like, please, 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 please get it out from endoscopy. And like, for some reason, miracle happened. Oh, and wow. They were able to take it out for endoscopy.
That's amazing.
And he didn't have to go to surgery.
That's great.
And sorry, I just have to give you a little story because I was in such a stressful time and I was really panicking. And, you know, as a nurse who have experienced many situations with like patients who's being rude, who's like, who won't calm down, I was in that position. Yeah. And it was so hard
not to react emotionally.
Right. Yeah. To keep your calm. Because you're like, what do you mean you have to open him up? Like, what do you mean now?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and there's a chance that he might not survive. I was like, please, not now. And we were just like, should we pull back? Should we pull back from this, like, you know, vacation and just like wait for it? So it was really hard. So anyways, going back to the whole, to your explanation. So it's hard. It's really hard to deal with those kind of situation, but you guys deal with your patient and the parents
and the people. So we have like two patients. So we have our patients, which are obviously our primary concern, the animals, and then we have our owners, which we are having to be their emotional support. We're having to explain things to them so that they can understand, you know, and make them feel at ease if something's going wrong. We're there to support them and hold their hand through those last moments. So, you know, there is a big emotional aspect to our job, which I'm not, you know, I'm not a nurse. I don't know how it is for you guys, where we have two emotional baggages. We have our emotional concern for our patient, and then we have our emotional concern for the owners.
The owners. But then you just said something. I'm not a nurse, but I absolutely firmly believe that you guys are nurses because of what you do and what you have to deal with. I feel like, you know, that's a lot of nursing.
Yeah, it is a lot of nursing. So if we were to talk about, you know, what I do, which a lot of people don't necessarily know what the technicians do.
Right.
I work in a small animal practice. So this means I work strictly with cats and dogs. I don't do small animals, rodents,
no,
rabbits,
nothing like that.
Nothing like that. No birds, no exotics.
Just dogs and cats.
Dogs and cats exclusively. So a part of my role is nursing. So we have patients, we have to administer medications, we install IV catheters, we manage their fluids.
I have so much question in my head. I was like,
yeah, we'll get there. You know, we administer medications. We are pharmacy techs. So we prep prescriptions. We, you know, calculate drugs for all our patients. I'm an anesthetic technician. I monitor and run anesthesia during surgeries.
Oh my God.
I'm doing pre-op, post-op.
Everything.
Everything.
You're a whole hospital.
Yeah. So I, you know, I intubate our patients. I transfer them to surgery. I prep them for surgery. I am there post-op to ensure that they're waking up well and making sure, you know, that there's no complications post-surgery. We are radiograph technicians, so we take x-rays.
Oh my God, the amount of things that you guys do. I mean, like, more than nurses in, like, nurses for humans.
Yeah, so we do everything.
Wow.
We are one person who does everything. We do have specialists. So as technicians, we can specialize.
Oh my God, this is so interesting to know. I mean, like, again, I kind of like see the similarities of it to the, I guess, to the healthcare of the mm-hmm. human world.
Yeah.
But wow, mm-hmm. the jobs that you guys do.
Yeah.
For.
We do everything.
The pay that, for the pay that you guys are probably getting. Ooh. I know.
That's
that's another topic we're going to be discussing yeah. in a bit. But yes, wow. So that's mm-hmm. that's really a lot of job.
Yeah.
And did you guys go into training to know all of those? Or yep. is it like things that you've learned in vet tech school?
So,
like, how is it?
Yeah.
I'm still kind of confused. Yeah. Sorry for the dumb question.
That's okay. So, to become a technician, it's mm-hmm. a three-year career program
okay.
done at the CEGEP level. CEGEP,
in the college. Yeah.
The college level. And we study, you know, all that. We study husbandry. So, you know, how to properly take care of animals and what their specific requirements are depending on the species. So oh, that's Lord. It. That's a thing too, right? That's you guys study one species. We right. study
a lot more.
A lot.
It's like expecting that you will encounter at some point like a parrot.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like... I don't know if I could do that. As
yeah. So we I think that's another thing that sometimes maybe human medicine forgets in mm-hmm. comparing to what we do is we know a lot of different species from farm animals to companion animals, which are dogs and cats,
right.
To small mammals. Rabbits are a whole other thing.
Right.
Birds, exotics, reptiles. I did an internship.
An internship.
I
yes.
did an internship with at an aquarium. So I worked with marine mammals.
Sorry, I'm just super like amazed with
so these
all
are
this.
Like there's like so right. many different opportunities for us when we talk about species.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's really fun.
Yeah.
Because listen, I have been always fascinated. And like you, I've loved animals. Mm-hmm. I've had animals since I was like small and growing mm-hmm. up. I would watch Nat Geo, David Attenborough's like Ooh. Netflix shows. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I guess I've had an interest with animals, but never really into the medicine of mm-hmm. it. But it's just so nice hearing it from someone who went through it because yeah. there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
That people probably don't know. Like
yeah.
for me, for an outsider, it's mm-hmm. fascinating. And at the same time, like, oh my God, praise you guys for yeah. going through all of this hardship and becoming something yeah. that you guys love.
Mm-hmm. So I think like the reason why I probably only work with two species is because mm-hmm. like whose brain can hold all that information?
Right. Just exactly like in nursing, right? Thank you for clarifying that because, you know, I think some people and I guess patients and clients, parents yeah. doesn't understand is that we're human beings too who can make mistakes, yeah. who doesn't have a whole library of information yeah. in our head and we can mm-hmm. only hold as much in our head.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we're not competent and we're not professional.
When my doctor mm-hmm. looks something up, I always say, thank God that she does not have the ego to pretend
Thank
like
you.
She knows something when she doesn't.
Amazing, amazing.
So that I get better treatment.
Thank
I much
you.
Appreciate my doctor looking something up to be sure than treating me incorrectly.
Thank
so
you.
So let's just all clarify that nobody's brain
Thank
can
you.
Maintain
Thank
so much information and your doctor does need to look things up.
That's it.
And we need to look things up too.
That's it. That's why like now I'm teaching as yeah. A nursing professor. That's why I tell my students, I was like, hey, you guys, if you don't know the answer, Google it.
Yeah.
I was like, I do this as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I think I feel more safer for someone who's actually trying to research and to like, you know, yeah. evidence-based find the yeah. right thing mm-hmm. to do or say instead of like guessing it on their, you know, head.
Yeah.
And saying something that's completely stupid.
Yeah. You want to be secure in your decision-making, especially
right.
when it comes to the well-being of your patients.
Right. And because I've seen this TikTok too of like a guy and he was taking a video of the doctor who's going to do the surgery in his
oh,
foot
yes.
or something. And he's like, look at my doctor.
He was wrapping. It was like to wrap a sprained ankle or something.
Something
and
like
he
that.
He was looking up how to wrap it.
Exactly. And he's like, my doctor is like YouTubing
yeah.
how to do this. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And I will feel more comfortable having that doctor than another doctor who's saying, yeah, I've been doing this for a while and I know what to do.
Yeah. I've done it like twice. Someone showed me. I can definitely do it.
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I'd rather you have that book open right next to me and I help you through this.
Thank you. And there's nothing bad about your patient knowing a bit more information.
Just like when doctors say, like, you know your body better than anyone. These owners know their animal better than anybody. So when we are talking to them and we're going through a treatment plan, let's say, and they say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to do XYZ. And I go, you know what? That's okay. You know what you are and are not able to do with your dog, cat, etc.
Right.
It's a collaborative
approach
in that at the end of the day, it's not just this is gold standard. This is what needs to be done for this patient. Well, you know, these clients, these owners, these parents.
I love the parents.
The parents. It looks much better on paper than
I know
saying it out loud. You know, we need to know what they're capable of.
Right.
And what they're willing to expend energy on as well. Like, it's stressful to administer medication to an animal that is resistant.
I could never give my dog anything. Yeah. And I don't know how the vet techs do it.
Yeah.
But they do it in like 2 seconds. I was like, it took me 40 bites.
Yeah.
40 bites and 30 scratch for me to give this small little thing. And you guys, it took you 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm like flabbergasted of how similar it is. Now I understand all the vet techs who's been messaging me every single time. Like, John, you don't understand how much I relate to this.
Yeah.
I'm not taking care of humans. I'm taking care of animals. But this is exactly the same thing that we're going through. I just find animals so cute because I have 2 dogs of mine.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yes, I have a mini poodle. Mm-hmm. He's actually like probably 8 pounds. Mm-hmm. But he's a little thicker now because he eats a lot. And then the other one is this little, small Australian Shepherd.
You have a mini Shepherd?
Mini Shepherd. Yeah. And I thought that he's... Because when I got him, got her, the mini Shepherd, they told me that she's going to be like a medium-sized Shepherd because Australian Shepherd are usually like bigger or like medium.
Yeah.
She is as small as a Chihuahua.
Oh my God.
I know. There's something...
Someone lied to you.
Someone lied to me, you guys. And I have some few questions actually about that.
Go ahead.
For people who wants to adopt animals, I'm just asking you for your opinions. Where do you think they should get their animals?
So this is a great question. And I think a lot of people want to know this answer.
For sure.
So people sometimes are really against breeders.
Mm-hmm.
But I am of the opinion that if you have a breeder who is recognized,
right,
does their research, does the genetic testing, these are the healthiest dogs you're going to get.
Right.
Fact. Now, that being said, I think adoption is from a reputable place is also amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had a pug Shih Tzu mix, which is like, who did that? That was horrible. She was the cutest, ugliest thing on the whole entire planet. Two eyes looking opposite directions, snorted like a pig.
Wait, a Shih Tzu and a pug?
And a Shih Tzu and a pug mixed.
Oh my God.
Like, why? But we loved her, you know?
Yeah.
We adopted her. So this goes back to breeder versus adoption.
Right.
So I think adoption's always a great option because a lot of these, like the SPCA, are overfilled with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's great if you can rescue.
Rescue some of the animals.
Yeah.
But I think my only concern, because a lot of my best friends from nursing school adopted dogs. And I think it was a struggle for them in the first 2 or 3 years because a lot of those dogs or a lot of those animals have traumatic experiences.
Absolutely.
And I remember one of my best friends, she adopted the pit bull because they were supposed to put him down. Because no one wants to take care of him. And you know how like the pit bull is? For some reason here in Montreal, they're illegal.
So
can you just clarify that?
Yeah. So I don't think... I'm not like up to date, but I'm pretty sure this law was removed this breed specific law.
Hopefully.
I think so.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, because breed specific laws are complete garbage, in my opinion.
Right.
My opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the breed that's the problem.
It's the parents. You cannot blame a dog, how it was raised and how it acts,
yeah.
because it all depends on the parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Like my dog, who grabs food,
yeah.
is because of me, who gives him food.
I appreciate you admitting that, because a lot of people will not admit that the reason that their dog is behaving the way they do is because they give in.
No. I would absolutely be honest, besties. I give my dog some little meat in there, some little veggies in there, because he always stands there next to me and he's just like,
how can you ignore that face?
The puppy eye. I was like, okay, fine, here.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, he developed this habit of like always trying and finding a way to get food.
And then he ate a popsicle stick.
There you go. And that's my fault. That's not his fault. He developed the habits because of me.
Yeah.
And a lot of other people try to deny that it's the dog. It's mm-hmm. the breed. It's not mm-hmm. the breed. It's you, baby.
But yeah, definitely adopting a dog, you need to be very conscious.
And just in general in life, mm-hmm. if you're going to make something like a big decision, you gotta
think about it.
Think about it. Not just like, I think I want to adopt a dog today because it's yeah. cute.
Like when I see sometimes first time dog owners and they've adopted a giant shepherd mix.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm like, honey, can you have started with like a beginner breed?
Like a chihuahua or something?
Even then, I'm like,
right.
This
right.
is a choice.
Right.
It's a hobby. It's a hobby. If you get an animal mm-hmm. and it is a breed, any breed, to be honest, that's a hobby. It's not a stuffed animal. It's not.
It's literally having a kid.
Yes.
And I think for people who's wanting a kid in the future type of thing, mm-hmm. have a pet first.
Mm.
And then have a kid after.
Oh my God, I'd rather have the kid first than a pet after.
Oh, really?
Because I think,
like this because it's just the opposite.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people think that like, oh, you know what? I want to see how I'll be as a parent. Let me get an animal.
Mm.
But like, you have to think about whether or not you want to be a parent either way, because that's a decision that
right.
you are making that's going to impact that individual child, animal, etc. I see that a lot of times where people get animals and then they're like, oh my God, this is not for me. But
right.
they make excellent human parents.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that perspective because in my head, I always had this thing that, you know, start with a pet
mm-hmm.
because a pet is a lot of obligation. You have to teach it how to sit, how mm-hmm. to do this. You have to do all of this obligation just
yeah.
like having a child
mm-hmm.
and then it kind of prepares you in being a parent.
Yeah,
but I completely understand your point.
Like I think people sometimes are classified in two different ways, the way
right.
they parent a person
mm-hmm.
and the way they parent a pet. I
right.
think a lot of millennials come in and they're mm-hmm. like, this animal is my child. Do not tell me otherwise. This is part of my family. I'm going to do whatever it is.
Girl, I'm a millennial.
I'm sure you're in there. You're like weeping. You're one of those. I'm hugging you in the consultation room because I need to like calm you down.
Oh my God.
And then
yeah.
there's, you know, people that don't understand the responsibility of owning a pet. They don't do any research. They
mm-hmm.
buy something off of the internet.
Oh Lord.
Don't even get me started on Kijiji.
Oh my God. Kijiji is like Craigslist. Yeah. It's do not get it on Craigslist.
No. Yeah.
Again, like I feel bad more for the animals.
Oh yeah. At the end of the day, like they have no understanding or
they just want to be loved.
Yeah.
They just want to be cuddled. They just want to be part of a family.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh my God. I used to live in the Philippines
mm-hmm.
where we have stray dogs.
Yes.
Because in the Philippines, we have stray dogs
yeah.
and that's very, very common.
Yeah.
And I just feel bad. So what I used to do is I would actually take those doggies and I will keep them. I will feed them.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, I feel bad for this little baby.
Some of those stray dogs in some of these countries around the world, because strays are so common, they are better fed.
Oh my
than some
God.
Of
they don't have sickness. They don't have nothing. They don't have to go to emergency
hospital.
Like,
you're like, how is this stray dog fat?
Just like Right? Anyways, I want to move on to the question that people from the internet ask me to ask you.
Yes, let's do
So I will put you in a hot seat with all this question. I know you guys asked some of the juiciest question to her. I hope that she's going to be able to answer this because some of these are just like, oh my God, I would not answer this myself. So let's see. Have you ever encountered a terrible parent?
I think terrible is...
not the best word.
Well, suitable for most cases.
Right.
But I think there's degrees of terribleness.
Right.
So have I seen like people come in with quote unquote neglected animals?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Do I have people who just never knew they love that animal, but they just never
don't
had,
know.
They just don't know. They just never had that information. And I have the empathy to be like, well, let me educate you. This is why we don't do this. This is why we do this. And then at the end of the day, these people walk out of there better owners for this animal.
Good.
Have I had people that come in who think that they are like God on earth, thinking that everything that they know is right? Ma'am, why are you coming in and asking me for information if you're not going to listen to me?
That's just exactly in nurses. Yeah. Nurses, do you hear this? This is our patients. Like, why would you come to my care just to tell me what I should do?
When I feel them becoming defensive.
Right.
Based off of information I'm giving them, mostly about food.
Right.
I say, hey, I went to school. I studied. I do continuing education. I'm staying up to date. The information I'm giving you is for your knowledge. What you do with that knowledge after, that's your choice.
Thank you. Thank you.
So like, don't get mad at me for telling you something.
Right.
I'm here to inform you, to educate you.
Right.
If you get mad at that, that's your problem.
At the end of the day, you're the one who's going to come back to the hospital if you don't do this right things.
And it's frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Because there's days where you're like, whatever, I'm here to do my job. I gave you the information. And then you go back and you just continue working. Then there's other days where you're like, I cannot with these people anymore.
Right. Right, right, right. You know, we got to stay professional. And it's sad because at the same time, we have to always be the bigger person.
Yes.
Like, why, if they're disrespecting me, why can't I do the same?
Yeah. And I'm sure you have the colleague where, let's say you have a difficult patient, we have difficult owners, that you're like, one second, let me go get my colleague for you. And then you send in that person and they go in there and they go, not today, honey, not with me. And you're like, and you just go to them and be like, I can't today. I can't do this. Can you go and talk to this person for me? And they're like, not in my house. Let me go in there and tell them how it is.
Love it. Next, what is something you want the general public to know about veterinary technician that they will never know?
We do everything.
You just heard it in the very, very beginning. They do everything. And nurses, guys, we thought we're suffering. They're also suffering.
And we get bit. But I'm sure you get bit.
We get bit too. I think I would be better bit by an animal than a human.
Oh, you say that. Oof. Oh my gosh, I'm not sure.
Girl, I don't know if you've seen. Oof. We get punched, baby, in the chest. And bit and then strangle.
Get headbutt by a German Shepherd and then tell me how you feel.
A German, oh my. Have you ever been like physically like, you know.
In an altercation with an animal?
Yeah.
Every single day of my life.
Oh my God. What was the worst altercation you've ever had?
So the worst altercation I think I had was with a German Shepherd, which they'd get a bad rap because they are large and they are mean. So I think at my clinic I am referred to as the dog whisperer.
Aww,
so
if they're that's cute.
It's let's get not it, really. Let's break that down.
Let's break that down.
So there's an aggressive dog in the clinic.
Right.
Cannot put a muzzle on it, cannot give it a sedation, cannot give it an injection. They're like, hey Nadia, can you go deal with that for me? And I'm like,
you're that nurse.
I'm like, bring it on. 10 days ago, I got bit by a cat, and I know that it's 10 days because I just finished my antibiotics.
Oh my
God. I got bit in the thumb.
Ooh.
Through my nail bed, through the other side, and my thumb ended up like quadruple the size. And I ended up going to the doctor, and, you know, bless their soul, they saw me right away. Love my doctor. And she was so concerned. Hmm. And I was like, this is like
A usual thing. Like, there's nothing traumatizing.
It just happened to get infected this time.
Oh my God. Because
I think I'm bit scratched daily.
Nurses, yo, here it is. Does it ring a motherfucking bell?
Yeah.
Because this sounds so similar to yeah. That's so funny.
When we have to go in, if there's like an aggressive cat and we go in and the doctor's like, bring everything. And that means you bring the thick towel, you bring the gloves,
yeah,
you bring the muzzle, and it's like go time.
That's literally the same scenario in the hospital. Yeah. Is that it's Mr. Smith again. Everyone prepare, you know. You got four people coming in. Yeah. Security is there,
police. Oh my like God.
Everyone. Yeah. It's right here, guys. We got this.
Yeah.
We got 5 minutes to get him settled before he punches every single one of yeah. us. Oh, that's really funny. Next. How hard is it to keep both pet and pet owner happy during tough times?
That's difficult. Very difficult. Because sometimes what is best for the patient is not feasible for the owners.
Right.
So there's definitely a balancing act of making sure that the animal's getting the best care that the owner can.
They deserve.
And that they deserve. And that the owner is able to give.
But at the end of the day, the owner still have the last words,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really, really painful.
It can be difficult because sometimes what's best for the patient is not possible at all.
Right.
And that can be hard to handle, digest.
Right. But they have like false hopes of like things. And yeah. I completely understand too, because yeah. again, it's the same thing in medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, when family members fight about like the patient,
yeah.
when we're like the patient just wants to rest and you guys are fighting over money and
yeah.
these things and keeping, mm-hmm. you know, this is not suitable. It's not like physically
yeah.
good for this patient, but mm-hmm. it's hard. Yeah. It's hard.
And there's only so much you can do at the end of the day.
Right. It's a yeah. dilemma, really. And, mm-hmm. you know, us going through it, it's so hard because we just take all of this trauma and
take it home with us.
Right. And act like, oh, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to go away, but it's stuck in us. It's like marked.
Yeah.
It's like part of us now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Next. You guys are asking the funniest question. What is the dumbest thing a parent has ever told you?
My favorite, and mm-hmm. I think I've heard it once and I'm gonna hear it again. I found a tick on my dog. Okay, no problem. Come in. Search the dog. There's no tick. You go to the owner. Tell me exactly where this tick is.
Okay.
And then you're like, ma'am, that's a nipple.
I swear that's so funny because
and you have to tell them. They get so embarrassed and I'm like, don't worry.
Imagine they were trying to pick it.
I'm sure they were. And the thing too is they get so embarrassed and I'm like, it's okay. You're not the first and you will not be the last person to come in here and be like, oh my God, it's a tick. And I'm like, they have multiple nipples.
It's a tick nipple.
Yeah. It is permanent. Please do not try and remove your animal's nipples.
Oh, that's so funny. That is the funny. You know what? That's the funniest thing ever. Next. What type of situation gets you to think, oh, no, not again?
When there are particular patients mm-hmm. that are aggressive.
Right.
And you see them on the schedule and you're like, I can't do this today. Why today? Why is Max Rocky whatever their name is on the schedule.
At least it's like a cute little name, you know? Like like Poppy. Poppy's here. For me, it's like, oh my God, guys, it's Mr. Smith again. He is back. He is back. And
yeah,
it's another week or two.
Yeah.
That is funny. Mm-hmm.
And then the owners are like, I'm so sorry. And we're like, you know what? We have learned to handle.
We got them, used to it.
And now it's just an everyday for us. It's fine.
It's a normal thing that occurs.
Yeah.
Next. What is the best part of your job? And do the good moments outweigh the bad ones?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there are days that are so difficult. You're crying. You go mm-hmm. home. It's horrible. And then the next day you're like, this is why I do what I do. Because at the end of the day, I'm there for my patients. And the wins definitely outweigh the losses.
Right. Is there anything particular that will forever mm-hmm. be stuck in your head? Like that mm-hmm. one very specific patient that you've been with and struggle with mm-hmm. and then it was a win?
I think I have a few of those mm-hmm. where when you work really hard with a patient and you're able to build a bond with the owner
right.
and then you establish that trust and that relationship, mm-hmm. those moments of when that bond is made between like the three of us, that's like the best feeling ever.
Right.
Is like having an owner that's so motivated and trusts you so much, then you're able to give the best care possible for that patient. That will outweigh any
difficulties and challenges.
Yeah. When we get like a first time like puppy kitten consult mm-hmm. and you go in there and you're explaining all this stuff and they go, yeah, tell me more.
That's really
cute.
Tell
me more. And then you exit that consultation room and you go to the veterinarian and you go, these people are going to be incredible owners.
For professionals like us who really do struggle almost every single day,
yeah.
to have someone like a patient or a family member or just the whole situation, that's smooth sails. Because it makes our day lighter a little bit.
Yeah.
Because our days could vary, right? Yeah. It could be super heavy. It could be super... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's never like... quiet. There's no.
And never say that word.
Exactly. Oh yes. No. Oh
you God. Don't say that it's quiet. You don't say that that's a beautiful vein. Do not comment on that vein.
That is so funny.
Like, are you trying to jinx me? Don't tell me how. Like, don't say it.
Do you guys have any full moon situation with the pets? For us, we hate full moons.
Oh yeah.
When full moons hit, things just get crazy.
So we have times of the year.
Oh.
The holidays, which I'm sure...
Particularly.
For you too, I'm sure. Any holiday that's particularly chocolate-based. So a Valentine's Day, Easter,
right.
Halloween. Mm-hmm. We're like, hide your candy, hide your chocolate. Do not let that right. animal close to it.
So my question to you, since you're talking mm-hmm. about chocolate, is like, how bad mm-hmm. is it really... for dogs, so
it depends on the kind of chocolate. I think that's one of the questions too.
Yeah,
about intoxication. So there are quite a few toxins that animals can get into. So chocolate, coffee are toxic.
But onions,
garlic. There's a list.
Is apple grapes. A bad thing?
No, apple's great.
Not, oh, really?
But not grapes.
Okay, grapes. Yeah, I've heard grapes.
Mm-hmm. And. When it comes to chocolate, obviously dark chocolate's the worst. But in any situation that your dog has eaten chocolate and you are unsure, regardless, call your vet.
Great. Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
Because it's going to depend on the size of your mm-hmm. animal. It's going to be dependent on the kind of chocolate. So either way, call your vet.
I love your energy, girl. You should work with us. Just be part with us. Next. What is the most frequent non-edible consumed by pets?
Yeah, socks. Socks, tampons.
Tampons is the worst because it expands, right?
Yeah, so both are really bad. Any, in cats, elastic bands.
Okay. What? How do you get rid of that?
So, surgery.
Do you guys ask the cutest but funniest and dumbest question? Do you get tired of people denying their animal are fat as fuck?
Absolutely. But... I have to say, I will not apologize for telling you that your animal is fat. I will tell you straight up. They'll be like, oh no, it's just a little fluffy, just a little round. And I'm like, ma'am, no.
That's fat. That's overweight.
That is obese.
Yeah.
That's like, oh damn.
Yeah.
why is it so round?
That's not healthy.
Yeah. And I think the thing with cats and dogs, at least, is that that extra 2 pounds
right.
is a huge impact on their welfare. So mm-hmm. on their joints, on their organs, etc.
Right.
Like, you might think like, oh, they're just like 1 or 2 pounds overweight. Yeah, but for them, that's excessive.
That's too much.
When we start to see like the 20-pound cats.
Oh my God.
It's like, sorry, your cat should be 7 pounds.
Right, right.
Like, and that's most cats. And it's like, you didn't know, but now you know.
Perfect.
And so now we're going to deal with it.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Yeah. Next question. How often do owners stay when their pets is being put down? Okay, I hate this question because I could never see my dog being put down because he is a Shih Tzu and he lived for 13 years, but I have to leave him in the Philippines because I got him in the Philippines. Mm. And 3 years ago, my grandma had to call me and she was crying so much. I was like, what happened? She's like, your dog, he's passing away. And they had to FaceTime me.
Yeah.
And he took his last breath on FaceTime and that was so traumatic to me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I could never, ever, mm-hmm. not even in human. I would never participate like, you know, those kind of situation because I can't imagine animals. I could never.
So I think that I don't know if I have a unique opinion on this, but first to answer the question, most people stay till the end. Some people can't handle it and I don't judge them for that. For me, euthanasia is probably the most important part of my job. I take it very seriously.
Right.
Because for me, it's like the last really important thing we can do for them to limit their suffering. And so I'm very pro euthanasia for end of life. I find it very hard when people are against euthanasia for their pets because I can't to watch a dog suffer.
Right.
Or a cat suffer is heartbreaking. And right. if I can do something to help them pass easier with less suffering, of course, why would I not
right.
want to do that?
Again, to get euthanasia though in human, just I need to clarify
well,
this.
Well, I don't
to
know
you.
How it works, so I would love to know.
Well, for human, there's a bunch of steps that you have to be qualified for to even be
allowed
to get made. We'll call it made just because it's, I mean, I guess for human, it's more sensitive to call it euthanasia, but basically it's euthanasia in human, but it's medical aid in dying.
Yeah,
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong to any medical professional who's hearing this, if euthanasia and made is the same thing, but that's my understanding for now. But then it's a choice.
Yeah.
And like you said, sometimes there are situations that you wish you could just help that person or that animal from suffering.
Yeah.
And you can't.
Exactly. So when my grandfather passed away, he was like 96 almost. Right. And that last year of life, I wish that I could take that suffering away from him.
Right.
Like that last year of life was nothing. That was wasted. That was pain. And so when I think of animals in that sense, in that we don't have to jump all these hoops, because I guess there's less quote unquote ethics. Euthanasia is one of the most, I think, important parts of veterinary medicine. And we try and make it the most peaceful experience for both the patient and for the owners. And we give people so much time.
What people need to understand at the end of the day is that, is it really worthy for our animals or the people we love to suffer just for them to be with us at this very moment?
Yeah.
And again, I am not judging on people's opinion and decision, but this is something you have to consider. And this is something we tell patients.
We've recently lost like some patients at work who have been with us for a really long time. And, you know, they were like our three old men that would come in and like, you know, one of them had like a wheelchair. So like we were, you know, we've been through it with these patients, and when we lost them, the whole clinic was mourning. Don't think that when, you know, the veterinary team is euthanizing your pet that they don't,
they're enjoying and they're having a party at the back of the
like we're with you, we're crying. We cry behind the scenes. Clients, owners that ask like, oh, you know, you must, how often do you do these? When we're doing a euthanasia, I was like, multiple times a week.
That's crazy.
And so there is a little bit of desensitization to it, in that, you know, we do have to desensitize ourselves so that, you know, we can continue working afterwards.
Right, setting that professional boundaries at some point. And that, again, that doesn't mean that you guys are like
cold
or not emotionally attached to this whole situation. It's just that you've seen it enough that at some point you're just numb.
That's it. We
all have our own different point of views, opinion, and that should always be respected.
So that's a big one. That's
really big. Your profession should also get that, you know, praise for, you know, doing the job and being there to support us from like some parts of our lives that are essential too for us to thrive and continue doing our job.
Yeah, because our pets are so important.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Listen, like I will do anything for my pets. Mm-hmm. Like my dogs are my freaking life. Like they piss me off so much many times. But whenever I'm like super anxious, depressed, angry or anything, seeing my two dogs and, you know, having this beautiful angels in my life, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I think that the actual definition of unconditional love is between people and their pets.
Oh, absolutely. And I completely agree with you. Anyways, I don't want to talk about that anymore because it's making me sad, but it's something that we have to talk about.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, girl, like we could talk here forever. There's so much to talk about.
I know.
And thank you for educating me.
Yeah, you're
and
welcome.
Educating all our besties.
Yeah.
Who's listening right now about veterinary technician? I would never, never understand or even know how similar your job, your profession is to the human medicine world, and completely, completely in nursing, in teaching. Wow.
Yeah. The emotional burden that we all carry, I think, is a universal experience.
It is. Yeah. It is. And we always have it harder.
Yeah.
For some reason. And the pay is just not
there.
Not
it's not it. There.
You know, like,
so people who say that the veterinary industry are in it for the money and we don't care about your pets, it's not true. You should see my bank account.
Yeah. And the thing that you have to go through, getting bitten, getting scratched, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think you would want to do that just because it's fun.
Yeah, that's it.
You do it because you have a passion and you care and love this job.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
People got to understand that. Whew. Well, girl, that's a lot, you guys. That's a lot to take in. And I feel like I just grew as an individual. And I feel like veterinary technician is something I would do if nursing is still not working, because it's still not working. Or if, you know, human keeps pissing me off, I'm just going to switch in like animals. Let's see how different it is. Maybe they have a Mr. Smith too in the veterinary world. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, we do. I don't know if switching is any better.
Just like stay where you are. It's the same thing.
Same.
Oh my God. Well, before we end this, I want you to give a message out there to our besties and for the future veterinary technician who wants to do this job. And for those who's listening, who's already in the profession, what would you like to tell them?
I have to say, keep going. School is hard no matter what, but it is worth it. And, you know, stay curious, stay motivated. And even though it is not the most paid profession, it is the most fulfilling. And I think the fact that it's so fulfilling is what keeps us going through it. And just remember that the support is there. So don't be hating on your coworkers. You know, the best support you're going to get is from your fellow technicians and from your veterinarians. And so we really need to work as a team. And you got to remember that we have each other. And so you need to maintain those relationships.
I love that. I love that. I love that, because that's so important.
And for people who tell technicians, oh, are you doing this in the meantime before you become a veterinarian? No, this is my career.
Beautiful. Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And I am proud to be a technician.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Good. I love it. Oh my God. I love her so much. Like, I feel like I can talk to her like every, like, I feel like we can make like 20 episodes together.
Whenever you want. This was such a great experience. Thank you so much.
And it's her first time too, you guys. So if you're listening to her, I was like, girl, you are a natural. What are you saying? This is your first time. I was like, it's like talking to someone who has a podcast already.
Oh my gosh. What a compliment. You're making me blush.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And I hope you guys have learned a lot from Nadia and to the vet tech world and to the animal world. And I'm so happy, Bessie, because another therapy session for our vet techs and for our nurses, because I think we all just relate at the end of the day. And again, Bessie, before you finish this episode, do me a quick favor and make sure that you download this episode and all the other episodes that you haven't listened to, and make sure that you follow us and turn on notification on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and make sure that you leave us a 5-star review. I love you guys so much. Don't forget, you gotta stay caffeinated, medicated, and try to hydrate. Doesn't matter how you hydrate. It can be coffee. It can be energy drinks. It can be water, which is good for you. But Bessie, do what you gotta do. And remember, always remember that you are where you are in life because you work hard for it. You deserve it. And you should be proud of it. Thank you guys again so much. And we will see you again next week. Bye. Thank you, Nadia. Oh, that was good.
That was good.
Oh my God. That was fun.
That was fun.